Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Mark chapter 9 today, Mark chapter 9. It's an interesting story in the Bible, and these things are written for our learning, for our admonition, and we'll see what the Spirit of God will speak to us about today. Mark chapter 9. We will begin reading in verse 14. Read a number of verses. Mark chapter 9. I'll let you get there. Mark chapter 9, and let's begin reading in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, the Lord, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Not would not, they could not. They had a desire to. "He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." That was his prayer to the Lord. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. He knew his limitations, and so this is what he says. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." This man had such a desire for his son that he asked the Lord to help. And the Lord said, "If you believe." And he said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." I think we're all in that category. And we'll see what God has to say. But God blessed his faith. Amen. Let's bow our heads again. Father, love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how real it is to us. And I pray that faith in your word and your promises would just be a blessing to us today. Meet every need for your honor, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you have faith in today. Sometimes there's faith that the car will start. And sometimes we lack faith in that area. But there's things that we put our faith in this life. We're going to speak today about a spiritual faith, something that we trust in that only God can provide for us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so there's so many verses that deal with faith, and that's faith in God, that's faith in his word, that's how it all works. If your faith is weak, like this man, we cry out, "Lord, I have weak faith. I believe in you, but help my unbelief." And God certainly answered his prayer. God is the source of our power, our answers, our faith. Without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. That's what the Bible says. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." That's a great prayer. Increase our faith. That's because it was their desire to know more about God, to trust more in God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. I will trust and not be afraid. Two verses in the Bible go hand in hand. And it takes fear away. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? And so we put faith in God and God answers those prayers. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That little baby wants the milk. And that milk provides growth. It provides maturity. We're told in the Bible to add to your faith. Virtue, temperance, all of those things. But faith is a starting point. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we desire God's word, and we desire to grow in God's word. And as we read God's word, we grow. Amen? We mature in the Lord. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have a written Word, we have a living Word. It all points to spiritual instruction and help that God gives us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. One day, what we have faith in that we can't see will become sight. Amen? Today we read about something. We don't see it with our physical eye, but we believe it because it's in the Word of God. It's God speaking to us. But one day our faith shall be sight. Bible tells us in 1 John 3:2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you imagine that? There's a lot of pictures of Jesus. You know, I don't know how accurate they are. A lot of them are different. But one day we'll see him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. That's going to be quite a day. Amen. Our face shall be sight. Paul said in Romans 7:15, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Amen? Man, I'm going to start having devotions, or I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, or whatever. Whatever spiritually you're talking about. And there's things you want to do that you don't do, and we blame it on the flesh. But here's the answer in the Bible. Romans 7:17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We have in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen? But we're all here. Elijah was a man of like passions. We're all the same. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to men. We're all the same. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I wish I had more faith. And we'll go through the scripture today and we'll see character after character, disciples, those that walked with him, those that saw his miracles. He says, little faith. And in one text, he says, no faith. You have no faith. So we'll go through that. Adam and Eve doubted the word. Can you imagine that? In paradise, everything's good, don't you think? The economy was good. Prices were okay at the grocery store, but all of those things. But here's Eve, and she doubted God's word. And, you know, there's some verses in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it says in verse 3 of chapter 11, but Paul says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so it goes back to the very beginning. What did the devil do? He got Eve to question and doubt the word of God. And then sin entered into the world. You have in verse 13 of that chapter, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so the devil is using what works. It's been the same from the beginning, where he wants us to doubt the Word of God. He wants us not to trust what God is saying because we don't understand it, because we don't feel it, because we don't see it. So he says, do this. It's so important just to obey the Word of God because that's where our faith comes from. In Hebrews, the Bible talks about the nation of Israel and how they could not enter into the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness. And it talks about their unbelief. That's the reason they could not enter into the promised land. In chapter 3 and verse 19 of Hebrews, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. And you know the story behind that. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of my countenance. Three times it says that in the Psalms. Three times. God wants to make sure we understand that. Why am I cast down? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And that's what God does for us. Amen. But it comes by faith. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. There's a couple disciples, they come to the other disciples and they say, the Lord's alive. Remember what he said? He's alive. But the other disciples didn't believe what he was saying. Maybe God will use me today. Maybe he'll use a godly mate. Maybe he'll use a godly neighbor in your life. Maybe he'll use iron sharpeneth iron. And something that you've not experienced, but somebody else has, and they're sharing that truth from the Word of God, what a blessing that is. Amen? And God uses human instruments to do that. He sends the two disciples who have seen him, believe in the resurrection, hey, he's alive. But they said, we don't know that. He's alive today. Amen? And that's the importance of your testimony, that you can share what you have seen with somebody else. You have Matthew 16 and verse 8. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they're thinking that he's talking about bread. And it's obviously in the chapter, it explains itself, it's the doctrine of the Pharisees. But this is what they said, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? He had already fed 5,000. This has nothing to do with a limitation of what we see. Well, how, you know, where are we going to get the bread? God knows exactly where to get the bread. Amen? So your circumstances in life might not look good, but when God makes a promise to you, he's going to keep that promise. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 28, take no thought for your life, right? What ye shall put on, what ye shall eat, just take no thought. God's going to take care of you. And the Bible says in Luke 12, 28, if then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith. You can go through the Bible and find that expression a number of times. You have Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. And in chapter 4, the disciples are in a boat with the Lord and a storm comes up. Jesus is sleeping down in the ship. And they come down and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Right? You're familiar with the story. It says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Little faith, no faith. Well, they did believe. They believed in Jesus, but they had no faith in that circumstance. Sometimes we ride the waves, don't we? Sometimes our faith is strong, but when we don't see something happening the way we think it ought to happen, or we think God has left us, but he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Amen? And he had already told the disciples, we're going to the other side. So even if it's stormy, they were still going to the other side. But he said, how is it that you have no faith? I think it's a good verse, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love. It says, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What gives joy to a Christian? Well, I got a raise. No, we're talking about something spiritual now. Could you have joy without getting a raise? Amen. Well, boy, the world situation, and I'm really worried about this and worried about that. Well, there's a spiritual thing, aspect to this where God can give us joy, but it's spiritual joy, and it only comes from faith, because if you look at circumstances, maybe the circumstances are bad. There's an admission. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Then there's a desire. Please, Lord, help. Have compassion on us. And then there's the prayer, and God answers the prayer. John the Baptist, I've mentioned this before, but think about this. This is Matthew 11:3. John says, art thou he, or do we look for another? Now, this is John that said in John chapter 1, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away. There he is, right there. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so he preached repentance, and he actually gave his life. But now he's in prison, and the circumstances are really different, and he's not seeing something. And he says to one of the men, he says, go ask the Lord, are you the one, or do we look for another? Can you imagine that? John the Baptist, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Sometimes it's easy to believe in God. It's easy to believe in his providence. Man, God was good to me today. I want to tell you, God's good to you every day. Amen? Well, God really, really helped me today. He's always at work. He will never leave nor forsake. And that's a promise that he gives. Thomas, John chapter 20. Thomas wasn't there when the other disciples were there and saw the risen Lord. Remember, he came in and spoke to them. And so they told Thomas about it, and Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see it. I've got to see him to believe it. I think that's a worldly saying, isn't it? You got to see it to believe it. But he says, I have to see and I have to touch the wounds to see it. And so he comes, and the Lord's there, and the Lord says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. He was even merciful to Thomas. Amen? He was kind to Thomas. And later on in that chapter, it says, blessed are those that have not seen and have yet believed. There's a verse that says, you know which verse I'm talking about, Richard? Not yet, okay. For the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Pretty powerful, amen? Well, I don't know, where's God? He's right there. With Jacob, the Lord was in this place and he knew it not. But God was right there, even though he was running away, even though he was a manipulator, a supplanter, even though he had deceived, God was right there with him. Absolutely amazing. Amen? So that's what faith does for us. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power. Remember Stephen being stoned? And he's full of faith and power. He had bad circumstances. I would call those bad circumstances. You have Acts 11:24. This is about Barnabas. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. It goes together. Faith and power of the Lord. We have James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead. Acts 6:5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. How can I have joy in a time like this? Well, it's spiritual joy. Amen. David said when he was getting right with the Lord, because it's sin that dwelleth in me causes those things, those outward manifestations, sin that dwelleth in me. So David's getting right in Psalm 51. And he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You'll find that all through the scriptures. The joy of the Lord in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And without joy, if you're depressed, and probably everybody's been depressed at one time or another, maybe we're all depressed right now. Usually you sleep a lot. Amen. I got up at 9:30, rushed here, and I can't wait to take another nap. Amen. But anyway, I'm not saying if you sleep a lot, never mind. You get it. Joy, your circumstances, joy, because it's a spiritual joy and it doesn't depend on your circumstances. We have in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Psalm 126:2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for us. When we sing our hymns, we're praising the Lord. Amen? We're praying to the Lord. We're praising the Lord. We're giving a testimony about how we feel in our heart because God has done that for us. You ever, and maybe you're going through some real trials, and yet you come into church, and it's just like a release of the Spirit. It's like a safe haven. You can praise God here, and you can hear Him speak to you. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. I remember being in a service one time, and a preacher said, are you filled with the Spirit? He asked the whole congregation that. He said, are you filled with the Spirit? Well, in Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Spirit. So that's what God wants. We've just read about a number of people that were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, but it says full of faith before they were full of the Holy Ghost. There has to be, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? I mean, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In the verse we quoted before, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above it. God can do that, but you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Let thy mouth be filled with thy praise. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with faith? Are you filled with laughter? Are you filled with joy? This is what God wants for us. Amen? But it's a spiritual thing, and it has to do with our faith. Think about your salvation. Go back to the day that you got saved. And you didn't see anything, but you believed what God said. We're born again, right? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So we go back to what God said in his word. And God says, I sent my son to die on a cross for your sins. We didn't see that. And he said, if you accept him as your savior, you will have your sins forgiven. You'll have a home in heaven. Amen. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And all of those wonderful verses, right? And we took that by faith. And when we put faith in that, that's when we were born again. That's when we became saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've been pastoring a lot of years, and I've dealt with a lot of people who are saved, faithful in church, but they doubted their salvation at times. I remember one lady in particular, and it grieved me so bad. She was just hanging on every word I tried to give her because she thought she didn't say it right. She thought she didn't put enough heart into it. She thought she didn't believe enough. I don't know if you've ever been there or if you've ever talked to anybody like that or been there yourself. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. But I believe, amen? Who believes enough, you know? Who is so full of faith that you never doubt. We are all a weak link from time to time. And God knows that, and He's very, very, very kind. Amen? He answered that man's prayer because that man was honest with Him. You don't lose your faith. You lose your assurance of the faith. You lose the trust. You lose the faith. Soul winning. We talked a little bit about that last week. He that winneth souls is wise. Well, I've talked to them. I've talked to them 100 times. And they just don't want to hear it. Well, if you've given them the gospel, the Bible says, Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That word is always at work. Amen? That's why we are not in charge of who gets saved or who doesn't get saved. We are not the ones. It's the Lord. Our job is to take the word and share it with somebody. And then it's the power of God, the Spirit of God, upon that word. So He says, be a witness. Tell everybody, well, I'm so discouraged. I've witnessed to 100 people today. Well, maybe not. 10 people today. Maybe 2 people or 1. I witnessed and I didn't see anything. God says, that word is at work. And it's up to that person now to receive that. I think that's great. Sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Paul is in Corinth. It's a wicked city, but God did a great work in that wicked city. A lot of people were saved. Church was established there. And Paul says this in chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And I read one fellow and he said this, he would claim no credit for the work at Corinth as though it was his own, for all his strength was in God. We are sufficient in God. Our sufficiency is of God. We are not sufficient of ourselves. We are human instruments that God takes and uses. Amen? But all glory to God. Praise the Lord for that. And God does a great work if that's the case. The shield of faith. I think this goes right along with faith. Ephesians 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And it goes on and says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What are the fiery darts? That's in the Bible, so it must have some meaning. It must be very important. Put on the whole armor of God, and we go through that, and we see what it is. But it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. The Roman oblong shield, 4.5 feet long, covered the whole body. It was a protection of itself. So faith, the faith that fully trusts in God and never doubts, is the best of all defenses. It will quench, stop, put out all the doubts, whisperings, and evil suggestions of the wicked. Fiery darts. These were missiles hurled by the hand, and very dangerous unless stopped by the shield, and the devil is still at work. That's the inspired word of God. So God takes that picture, and He has that Roman soldier. He's got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the only offensive weapon. And He has the helmet of salvation. It's important to know you're saved. Amen. All of these different things. But above all, take the shield of faith. In the battle of life, you need to have faith. Faith in God and not the circumstances. Amen? If it was up to me, I'd have a day like today. You know, nice weather. Right? Right, Paul? Golfing? No problem. No rain. You know, all the different things. Well, I would choose this to be different, but it's not different. Amen? In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be depressed. Because I don't know what to do. That's not what He says. In the world ye shall have tribulation. It's all over here. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What did Paul? There's the storm. They've thrown everything overboard. He's a prisoner. They've taken him to Rome. All of the different things that are going on there. He's down in the ship. He's praying. The storm is tearing the ship apart. And Paul comes up and says, be of good cheer. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're fearing for their lives. They haven't seen the sun or the stars in many days. All of their goods were thrown overboard. That's it. I'm going to die out here in the ocean. And here's this quack. He comes up and he says, be of good cheer. How would you respond to that? You know what I mean? It's crazy. What a crazy statement. But he went on to say, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God it shall be even as it was told. That had nothing to do with circumstances. And maybe we're not in something like that, but we do have the Word of God, amen? And no matter what our trial, no matter what our circumstances, be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. And that joy will give you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I quoted it earlier, Nehemiah. That will give you spiritual strength. When you trust in God, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. I don't see how this is going to work for good. God does. Joseph, sold by his brothers, they wanted to kill him. They sold him into slavery. He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day much people alive. God has a purpose in everything. Amen? And sometimes our circumstances are so hard that people just might see a good spirit. A good spirit. Because that's transforming. Amen? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Pastor, are you always of good cheer? I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen? We're all like that. But we have answers in the Bible. Being filled with the Spirit. This is a verse that describes our Lord and Savior. It's in Isaiah 11:2, and it's in response, well, it's prophesied too in the book of Revelation, but it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There are so many verses. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be Christ-like. Amen? And you go through any list or any example of Jesus. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. I mean, so many verses. That's being full of faith in the Word, and that allows you to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Disobedience grieves the Spirit. Quenches the Spirit. So we put faith and trust in what God said, and it produces something in us, and a lot is accomplished for the Lord. What a blessing that is. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance. Here's a real contradiction in terms. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do you have evidence of something that you haven't seen? How do you do that? God gave us his word. Amen? There's a place called heaven. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're going to be there. And this little time here is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Where are the days going? Amen? Ida, what happened? I mean, you know, class reunion from 1945. Wow. And I don't see how she can still say she's 70 years old. I don't know how she does it. I mean, one day we're going to be with the Lord. Well, you know, that's pie in the sky. No, it's the truth of the Bible. The truth of the Bible. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Huh. Things, the evidence of things not seen. You have Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That verse in Jeremiah 33:3, it's just been on my mind for quite a few days. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's telling the prophet, I will show you. But there are many things that we don't see in this life. And we just read about those verses. But they're just as sure as we're watching them. There's a fellow by the name of Francis Chan, and this is a great, great statement. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Did you get that? Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. You can be so successful in life and not spiritually. And God may allow whatever in our life for us to be a blessing to somebody. Amen. A testimony to somebody. And the Bible is full of illustrations of that. Abraham, this is Romans chapter 4, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. His body's dead as far as producing children. Sarah's is dead, but God says, I'm going to give you a seed. And it says, who against hope believed in hope. It goes on, it says, and being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded. Isn't that what Paul said? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I'm persuaded that what he promised he's going to do. You have Moses in the Bible. And Moses was in a difficult situation too. But it says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, so he gave up all the treasures and powers of Egypt so he could lead God's people. Amen? Faith. What do we have faith in? Well, stock market. Don't have faith in the stock market. And you might be very, very successful. God bless you. Use it for the Lord and use it for your family and however God does it. But don't let anything take you away from the desire to have more faith and be led of the Spirit. Our days are coming to a close. Whether you believe the rapture is close or not, I believe it's close. I believed it was close for 45 years. But it's closer today than it was 45 years ago. But what can we do for God? Well, I don't know. People just don't want to, whatever, whatever. Well, that may be true. But if God has us in a certain position to be a witness, amen, to pray, to be right with him, to be used of God, whatever the circumstances are, we ought to do it. And that's faith. And when you're full of faith, you'll be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word today. We believe, Lord. I know many testimonies in this room. We believe, but help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Give us joy and rejoicing. Give us a trust in your providence. That maybe there's a hard time in our life that you've allowed for one reason or another. And I pray, God, that we would rejoice that you're using us. I pray today if there's somebody who's never received Jesus as their Savior, that they would ask him to forgive their sins, to give them a home in heaven, to be real in their life and heart. I pray you just meet every need today, Lord. Fill us with faith. May we trust you and fill us with your Spirit that we might please you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.